Crag was now in sight, about 200 paces away. Like its predecessor, it carried replacement parts for some of the mining equipment wrecked by the rampaging Stickies before they'd upped and abandoned the camp, leaving a dozen corpses behind them.
Ready the gates!
Dabisha walked toward the fence, carrying his M16 under his right arm, his eyes darting into the darkness beyond. Six men were with him, each knowing his duty, each someone that Dabisha knew that he could depend on if the chips went down.
Eyes triple open!
The wag was less than 50 yards away. The lights reflected off the windshield, making it impossible to see who was driving. Dabisha expected it to be the Cajun Nate Rule behind the wheel, with a couple of Sekmen riding shotgun. Since the trouble blew up with the Stickies, the route through the woods and the armored wags had become a great deal more dangerous. Three vehicles had been taken out in the past 4 weeks. Dabisha spun, leveling the carbine at where he thought the shots had originated. Two men were down, clutching at bullet wounds in the lower legs. It looked as if whoever had done the firing wasn't all that good a shot, and it aimed too low.
Drag them out of the way!
His eyes focused on the shadows beyond the circle of light. There was no more shooting. Both wounded men were hustled away by their colleagues, and Dabisha walked alongside the wag, gesturing to Nate Rule to roll down his window.
Sons of bitches out yonder shooting in at us!
You sure that's not a Sticky ready in a big attack? Saw a dozen or more of them out on the track. One tried to jump us, but he fell under the fucking wheels. Well, they out there all right, only a mile or so off.
Stickies don't use automatic blasters! Best get undercover! One of you go tell Wolfram we got us some company out there!
All the Sekmen disappeared behind walls and huts, leaving the camp surveillance to their colleagues in the high towers. Though all of them had their attention directed beyond the fence, into the darkness. They waited and watched for more shooting. On the truck flatbed, lying between the wooden crates, Ryan Cotter also waited. As Ryan peered out from cover, it was possible to take in most of the layout of the camp, including the tethered balloon that swayed gently against the trees on the far side of the fortress. The titanium steel security mesh that protected the delicate membrane glittered coldly in the spotlights that ringed the entire camp. Ryan continued to wait, unable to see any of the guards because of the rough wooden crates that surrounded him. His right hand held the patterned grip of the Sig Sauer, which was cocked and ready to fire. These were the crucial few minutes of their hastily reworked plan. JB's poorly aimed shots were designed to keep the Sekmen jumpy and undercover, rather than trying to kill them. This was a fine balance.
Get that fucking wag all the way inside and close the damn gates! Don't want none of them Stickies slipping in on us, if that's who it is!
Ryan flattened himself, squinting out of the corner of his eye, glimpsing the tall gates and a group of uniformed men cowering behind a low stone wall, their leader waving an M16 at the driver of the wag, pointing for him to bring the vehicle out of the line of fire. The driver hurled himself out of the wag and ran for cover. Ryan wriggled forward, peering through the gaps between the cases, and saw that they were close to the refueling hut. The group of set guards were all on the right side of the rig, huddled together. As far as Ryan could see, there was nobody waiting on the other side. He eased his way across, taking a last quick look around, finding that the coast was definitely clear to the left. Ryan rolled quietly off the back of the armor wag and moved along the side toward the cab. He stared around the front of the wag, then quickly cat-footed out behind the fuel hut, where he crouched and waited in a pool of deep shadow.
Dabisha!
Yes, sir!
You got your brains sleeping up your ass?
No!
Let them leak from your dick?
No!
Then where the devil are they? Because I don't believe you're using them.
How's that, boss Wolfram? We got that wagon safe. Want us to go out into the woods after the shootest? Could mean us taking some losses.
Not the way that person's shooting. It has to be either J.B. Dix or Ryan Carter doing the shooting with what sounded like an Uzi to me. Anything occur to you about that, Dabisha? About the poor shooting?
No!
Carter or Dix can put a 9mm full metal jacket round through the eye of a gnat at 50 yards. How come they're doing so badly here?
We've got two wounded!
In the legs. Rest of the shots missed sitting targets, Dabisha. Made you run for cover. Didn't see you or anyone else checking on the back of the wag when you let it in through the gates.
Why?
Ever heard the expression, a diversion, man?
Oh, yeah. Get it. Want me to go see?
Do it, Dabisha. quickly.
Sure thing!
And do it slow and careful. I have a nasty feeling that the dice have just rolled against us.
Ryan knelt in the darkness, a silent shadow. Davishow felt cool and relaxed as he stepped around to the back of the wag, conscious that the Magus's order had laid him out in the open, under bright lights, a sitting target for anyone in the woods. The carbine rested on the remains of his left hand, right index finger steady on the trigger. Davishow peered in among the cases, making sure that he could see the whole back of the flatbed.
Climb up! That's right. The only way to see.
Hope the jiggers swim up your cock and eat out your balls, you tub of fucking lard.
Nothing here, sir! Nobody but us chickens!
Ryan could see the sec boss's angular shadow, stretched out along the trampled earth, creeping within inches of where he crouched. For a moment, he wished that he'd taken up the armorer's offer of the Uzi. He could have sprayed the nearby group of sec men at point-blank range and killed them all in a single burst on full auto. One of the traitor's most repeated sayings related to time and regrets. Worry about what you haven't done, and you find yourself flat on your back with the rain beating in your open eyes.
Come here, Davishow. Now!
As Davishow stepped around the back of the parked wag, he was able to see beyond the open door of the squat fuel pump, into the pool of stark shadow. He blinked for a half second, starting to swing the carbine to the firing position, then stared paralyzed at the crouching figure. He had a momentary impression of a big man in a ragged coat, with something white around the throat, broad shoulders and a deep chest, a mat of tangled black hair, an eye missing, narrow, cruel lips peeled back off glittering teeth in a snarling, feral, murderous grin, and a huge knife that looked close to 2 feet long, the blade like a mirror in the spilled light.
Shit!
Ryan powered up from his shadowy hiding place, using the Panga like a sword, needlepoint first. Ryan twisted his wrist as he felt the steel slice through soft tissue, cutting open the wall of hard muscle. The sec boss's nerveless fingers opened, allowing the gun to fall. Davishow took a couple of staggering steps backward, out of sight of his colleagues and Wolfram and the Magus. He pressed his hands to the gaping wound in his guts, as though he were trying to reassemble himself. Ryan kept his self-control, aware of the section of sec men less than 10 yards away from him. There was no sign that they or anybody else had seen the sec boss go down, but it would be only seconds. He aimed the carbine at the powerful lamp strung around the fence, knowing that JB was ready, the Steyr SSG-70 in hand, waiting for Ryan's signal.
Lights! Calder's inside, by the wag! Won't have a show that... Move in on the wag! Stop! Calder, gotta get the gas!
Already, two-thirds of the lamps were shattered, and the whole compound was much more dim and gloomy. Ryan glimpsed a face peering from the barred windows of the hut where he believed Christy was being held. But Ryan was way too busy to think about that step, further down the line. Mildred was at Christy's shoulder, staring into the open space, able to see the parked wag by the fuel container.
It's got to be. I'm sure it's Ryan inside and JB shooting the lights from outside the fence. Can't see the corpse of the Cajun sec man. The gates were bolted. If only we could get out there and give some help.
Let's just wait and keep our heads down.
There's the Fat Man and Ionize by their quarters.
Could be they'll try and use us as hostages. Be ready to do what we can.
It's getting real dark out there.
Yeah. Gaia, help him.
Ryan had left 2 spare clips for the Steyr with the armorer, as well as the full 10 rounds in the mag. JB squinted through the sight, aiming at the cluster of lamps on the farthest guard tower, close to where the gas-filled balloon swayed and curtsied at its mooring. JB's combat-honed brain had been keeping a careful count on what he'd fired. There were 3 rounds left. After that, he'd be down to the Uzi, which wasn't ideal for closing down the lights, and the powerful scattergun, which was totally useless for that. But once he got inside, the Smith & Wesson M4012 gauge would come into its own. All Ryan had to do now was to break open the gates for him, using the darkness as cover, and hopefully set the gas off in what would be a gigantic explosion of fire and noise.
One left.
JB steadied the stock against his shoulder, his fingers steady on the trigger. Only a handful of the searchlights remained lit, dappling the forest fortress with deep lakes of darkness and occasional puddles of brightness, ideal for a killing ground. At the back of his mind, JB had the itching worry that the bands of stickies they knew were around might be creeping up soundlessly behind him, but the first one